the God I never knew. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. I told you last time that I grew up in a church that believed in charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement, not the denomination, but the Pentecostal movement, believed in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. Don't let that scare you. But, you know, they were radical. They were just radical believers. They expected to have service and God show up in a tangible way. They expected the dead to be raised. They expected lives to be changed. They expected to see miracles, signs, and wonders. But when they talked about the Holy Spirit, they never really told me who He was. They would tell me things that He would do. And every time there was a sermon on the Holy Spirit, it was about the day of Pentecost. It was about Acts chapter 2. And it is a good chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. But that, you know, that's just a part of what the Holy Spirit does. If you ask the church, what's the gift of the Holy Spirit? Most of them would say speaking in tongues. That's just one gift. That's just one. It's like saying, tell me about God. He's love. Okay, but tell me about God. Well, He's love. Well, yes, He's love, but that's not all He is. He's righteousness. He's judgment. He's a lot of things. And so it would be like, tell me about Joe. Well, he has his own business. Okay, well, tell me about Joe. He does construction. I understand that's what he does, but tell me about him. Like, tell me about Mr. Marthy. Well, he has horses. Okay, but tell me about him. Well, he's got a lot of land for those horses to be on. Okay, I get that, but tell me about Him. We can't take one attribute of God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit and expect that to tell us who they are. They are one, but they are separate. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He is not an it. He is a person of the Godhead. And we should get to know Him. Let's turn to John chapter 14. So last time we talked about, you know, basically the getting to know the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about this Sunday. If we're going to title it, I'm going to put it, what is this person like? What is the Holy Spirit like? Can I tell you something? I knew my wife before we got married. I knew her for quite some time. But once we got married, I got to know her a little more. High five, anybody? Anyone? Okay, sorry. But not only did I get to know her more, and I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, but that ain't what I'm talking about. I actually know her better today than I knew her before. I know more of her likes and dislikes. I know a little bit more of what makes her happy. Can I tell you this? I tell her all the time, one day I'm going to be able to make your face light up like when you look at something on sale that you really want. When we walk into her favorite chocolate, or you know, her favorite chocolate store, and she just looks at those chocolates, I'm like, that glow right now, I want to be able to do that. I haven't figured out yet how, but I got the rest of my life to work on it. Okay, can I tell you something else? When we were dating, and she didn't know, you know, I knew. Because there was a point in our point in our dating relationship that she said, you know, I just want to be friends. And I looked at her and I said, I don't want to be friends. I have no desire to be your friend. None at all. And she didn't know how to take that. She thought that would be the end of it. And I'm like, nope, I want to pursue a relationship here. And, you know, I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit might be not the, you know, I would be the Holy Spirit, she would be you. Be like, Holy Spirit, that's enough. I just, you know, speak in tongues. But I want more than that. But let's keep things casual. Be like, let's not just, you know, you get all involved up in my life. Let's just speak in tongues. That's powerful. That's enough. Holy Spirit's like, not what I want. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to know us. But it takes spending time with somebody to get to know them better. And you'll know, I'm learning, even this year, I've learned more about her, more things in her past, and more things of her history, more of the things that she likes and dislikes, and what causes her to be her. what makes her than I've ever known before. And can I tell you, I thought I knew her well because we knew each other. We were friends for a long time. When we got married, I didn't think there would be a hurdle. There wasn't a hurdle. It was a mountain. There was no leaping over that. That was rock. Woo! And it took some dynamite. We had to get over. I mean, I'm just wondering, like, my God, what would it have been like if I'd only knew her a year? Jesus. I probably wouldn't have survived. And so what I'm talking about here is there's a way that we get to know the Holy Spirit, but it only comes from recognizing Him as a person of the Godhead and not a force, not an it, but He is a person of the Godhead. Have you found John 14 yet? We're going to start in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you know, in marriage, I'm just going to keep bringing it up to marriage a little bit here. But in marriage, you know, there's some if you love me moments. There are some if you love me moments in marriage on both sides. If you love me, you cut that beard off right now. I'm like, come on, don't do that to me. Because I wanted to be a wizard, Harry. But I didn't make it. It got to about here, and she's like, cut it off. I'm like, just give me two more months. Uh-uh, if you love me. And so the Lord has, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. A lot of your translations will, what does another translation there say? Helper. And I actually believe helper is probably a better translation of the word when you look at it in the Greek. He'll give you another helper. And now notice He says He, not it. God, Jesus doesn't say it will be a helper. It is going to help you. He says He will help you. This is a person of the Godhead. And He said, may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwells with you. Oh, aren't you thankful? The Holy Spirit dwells with you. And He shall be in you. Now, jump to verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26, but the Comforter or the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you. Can I tell you something? We need the Holy Spirit to teach us. You think your new revelation, I'm always amazed at how we think we're progressing. And how good and proud of us as good little Christians we are. I've come so far. What's the Holy Spirit that got your butt there in the first place? And you never even had the opportunity if Jesus didn't die on the cross for you. This is all because of God. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Now, I want to just tell you, chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16. Now, I believe this. Most theologians will tell you that these chapters come from the Last Supper. That this is the conversation Jesus is having with His disciples at the end. He knows He's going to the cross. And I happen to agree with them. I believe when you read it with that understanding, it makes a lot of sense. Jesus is talking about His death and that I'm going to leave and that the Holy Spirit is coming. Now, John 15, 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, or the Helper is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Now this word Comforter, or Helper that you have in some translations, is the Greek word parakletos. Parakletos. Sorry, I just spit on you. That's all right, though. Jesus spit on people and they got healed, so just expect that. Thank you. I work on those. Now, it means called to one side, to aid. I love this one. Intercessor. Have you ever been around intercessors? Oh, your life is easier if you've got an intercessor connected to you. Woo! They'll tell you things that are to come.
intercessors. You can't live without them. I wouldn't recommend it. So you need some intercessors. And I would recommend making your mama one of them. Because nobody going to pray for you like your mama will. All right. So anyway, I just got all lost right then and there. Where were we? Oh, intercessor. In the widest sense, a helper, a successor, an aider, or an assistant. So God is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Now turn to John 16 and 7. I got a lot of scripture. We're reading. And we're going to even go back over them. John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Why would Jesus ever have to start a conversation that way? Why would he ever have to tell his disciples, hey, I'm telling you the truth? Have you ever started a sentence that way? It always makes me think, what are you doing, lying a lot to me before this? Be like, I kid you not. Wait, I'm in the wrong part of country for that. Be like, I'm telling you the honest God truth. Has anybody ever started a conversation up like that? I always want to start and say, what did you tell me before? And Jesus himself is saying to the disciples, I tell you the truth. I believe the reason he was telling them, I'm telling you the truth, is because what he's about to say to them. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, this is the fourth time we either see Comforter that we've already read or we see Helper. So it's called him the Comforter or the Helper out of just the scriptures we've read very briefly here four times. Now, let's jump to 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak. Notice, it keeps calling him he. This should destroy any doctrine that says the Holy Spirit is not a person. God doesn't call him an it, he calls him a he. The Holy Spirit is not just the presence of God the Father coming down on you. God the Father is a separate person. God the Spirit is a separate person. All right. And so he's told him that I have to leave. There's some things I got to tell you, you can't bear it, but I've got to go. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things that are to come. Now notice, he says he won't speak unless he hears it. Jesus said, I don't do anything that my Father hasn't done. Just the same as Jesus would never do anything that God would not permit or want, the Holy Spirit will never do anything that God does not want or permit. So I have heard people say, I know this is not biblical, but I was told by the Holy Spirit, you are a liar. If it goes against what God has said for you to do, and you try to blame it on the Holy Spirit, you have just lied, because the Holy Spirit can't do anything that is contrary to God's word. Oh, Lord, Jesus, Jesus. Where did we leave off? Oh, show you things to come. So I want to give you 3 points out of this. Point number one, are you ready? He is my helper. He is my helper. Jesus stated, I tell you the truth. In other words, I know this is going to be hard for you, but believe me, because, you know, the Son of God is talking to you here. I tell you the truth. It is expedient that I go away. Most of the body of Christ doesn't believe that statement today. Most of the body of Christ wish that Jesus was here in the flesh. I grew up with people talking about, if just the Holy God, Almighty Jesus Christ, was here right now. Right now. Woo! The church would be in a better place. What the church wants is Jesus to be the Pope and unite all the church. To unite us all and have one leader. I mean, like, I'm sorry, I thought that's what we had was one leader. God Almighty. And if Jesus was here in the flesh, he would be only one person.
And you know how long of a line you would have to wait just to see him? When you were born, they would have to stick you in line and pray that everybody before you dies. So just by the time before you breathe your last breath, you might be able to see Jesus in the flesh. And most people, that's what they want. They want Jesus in the flesh on this earth. And Jesus told the disciples, I want you to believe me. I'm telling you the truth. It's better for you that I go. Can I tell you something? It's better for you today. Just as it was back then, it's better for you today that Jesus left this earth in physical body form and sent the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, that is your helper. It's better today. If I could just have lived in the time of the disciples, you wouldn't have made it. The majority of you would have been like the 70, would have left him. You want to know how I know that? Because a big percentage of the church can't even get to church on time. And I ain't talking about you. I know you're here on time. I'm talking about the other churches. Most of them don't even give faithfully. They don't even live their life faithfully. And they want Jesus in the flesh and not the Holy Spirit, who is the great teacher, who leads, convicts us, shows us the way, who teaches us the way. We have an individual, each of us, have access to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And we think it would be better that Jesus would be here in the flesh. Nope. If that would be the case, then Jesus would be a liar. So which one is misled? You or Jesus? You. The answer will always be, who is wrong? God or you? It will always be you. It is not better for Jesus to be here. If I could just be back in the day. No, you would have failed. The majority of believers failed. The majority of believers failed. And the chances of you being in Jesus' inner circle are slim to none. He had 70. Then he had 12. Then he had 3 that he hung out with. And the chances of you getting in that 3, probably real slim. And then he only had 1. He said, hey, take care of my mama. You don't want to know why he only told 1? Because that's the one he trusted the most. How, that would have been me. No, it wouldn't have. It wouldn't have. You want to know how I know that? I'm not sure I'd tell any of you to take care of my mama. Not that I don't love you. It's just we don't have that relationship. I'd be concerned about telling Jesse to take care of my mama. Oh, Jesus. She might stick her in a home. I don't know what she's going to do. Don't worry, I'll edit that out. My mom listens to my messages. Oh. And you want Jesus to be here in the flesh. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's better. It's better for all mankind that Jesus left. That we would get to know a member of the Godhead personal. That he would teach us. That he would lead us. And he would guide us into all things. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. Look at verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove. Now some of your translation says convict. Now, convict means to bring to light or expose. The world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, the church has been taught this scripture wrong for so long. I was taught this scripture wrong. Would you like to know how I was taught it? Of course you do. Yeah, I knew you did. Kind of like Johnny Cash. I know I bring him up a lot, but he's an amazing singer. And if you're that iconic, I might bring you up a lot as well. But Johnny Cash... And this is the way, you know, the world believes. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. Tell that backslider, that backbiter. I know them. It's good music. It may not be right. His music's great, but his words are wrong here. That's not the way Jesus is. That's not the way God is. You tell that liar, you tell that backslider, sooner or later, God will cut you down. And that's how this has been read. And when he has come, he will reprove. He will convict the world of your sins. All that you're doing. All the shacking up, the drinking. Oh, good God. He's going to come and he's going to get you. The smite for one. The hands of an angry God. We have been, our history, that's a sermon, it's a famous sermon. The hands of an angry God. As a sinner dangling on a thread over hellfire. Flames rising up, singeing. You are in the hands of an angry God. And they forgot the scripture, or just didn't use it or care about it. It says all of God's wrath was poured out upon Jesus. Didn't recognize that. But they'll preach this to you that the Holy Spirit will come and He will convict you of your sins. He will show you that you are not righteous. And He will bring hellfire judgment down on your life. That's what I was taught. That's how I was taught it. But if you actually continue to read below it, it explains everything that it's saying. It explains it. I know it's insane to think that the Bible explains itself. It says, and He will come and He'll reprove or convict a lot of your translations. And Christians have a hard time with the word convict. Let's just think of it this way. When someone goes to the court, they're either, you know, decided they are convicted or not convicted if they've done a crime, right? Convict means to convince. You persuade, you convince someone. The Holy Spirit's job before you come to Christ is to convince you that you need a Savior. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to convince you that you need a Savior. Once you have given your life to Jesus, and I would like to believe that's the majority of us in here today. But if you haven't, hold on, we're not done yet. But to convince us that we need a Savior. And that when we do that, His job becomes to convince us that we are righteous. Oh man, that destroys a lot of doctrine of a lot of denominations. Because you're no longer a sinner. You have been made righteous. The Holy Spirit wants to convict you that you are in right standing with God. That your relationship, that redemption has been paid. You have been made righteous and your relationship with God has been restored. That's the Holy Spirit's job once you become saved. And then the next one is judgment. Well, how do you explain that one, Pastor? It says very clearly, judgment. I'm so glad you asked. Verse 11, let's just take a look at it. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Not your judgment. Not the prince. Okay, so first, you need a Savior. That's His job. Convince the world we need a Savior. Second, that you have been made righteous. And third, once you have done step one and step two, step three is to convince you that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because Satan has been judged. All authority over his kingdom has been returned to its rightful place, the sons and daughters of God. Thank you. If somebody didn't shout, I was about to run. Oh, makes me feel a little better here.
Yeah, hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit's job is to convince you that the devil may be roaring like a lion, but his teeth have been pulled and victory he has no more. Oh, my goodness. We have been made righteous. We needed a Savior. He was sent. We have been made righteous. And the enemy has no power over us anymore. That is one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to convince us and bring us to our place where our walk in Christ is, that He convicts us, that He convinces us that we need a Savior, that He convinces us that we are righteous, and that He convinces us that the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
That is the job of the Holy Spirit as our helper. So not only is He our helper, but He is our friend. And I put in quotations there, and He's not weird. You know, the church... I know,
I know. I have weird friends and I like them too. And I may be one of yours. That's okay. I'm very clear. I am not normal. Even my wife will tell me sometimes. She'll say things to me, right? She'll be like, oh, your sense of humor. You act like this. And I'm like, honey, I never hid this. From the very beginning, I was quite open with me being me. There should be no surprises here. I am kind of crazy. But I love life this way. There's two types of people. They're boring and hyperactive. And God loves us both. Can I tell you this? People were weird before they ever got saved. There are some weird people out there. There are people that don't have the Holy Spirit that are in other religions. They are some weird people. Weird people have all started their own religion. Walk down State Street. There's some weird people out there. My favorite time, and I did a video on Jesse's phone because I didn't have mine. And she deleted it because she needed space on her phone. And I cried. Not really, but, you know, physically, mentally. Because they had a drum line and people were playing drums. I mean, there were like 20-something people playing drums. And you want to talk about people just dancing and out on the middle. It was the most amazing thing I have ever seen that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. There was an old dude with, like, I don't know if he had really tight shorts or spandex. I can't remember because Jesse deleted the video with his shirt off. And he was he had to be on something. I mean, maybe not, but it seemed like it. And I cried. I laughed so hard. I'm like, I wanted that video just to bring it up and watch it if I was having a bad day. They don't need the Holy Spirit. They were weird before they came into the body of Christ. If you don't know one, what are the chances? It may be you. But I'm going to tell you something. He is our friend, but the enemy has tried to convince the church that the Holy Spirit is weird. That the Holy Spirit is weird. Because if the enemy can convince us that he's weird, then we will stay away and deny the power. The Bible tells us that there's those who have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. And they blame stuff on the Holy Spirit. I've been in church all my life. I've seen a lot of crazy stuff blamed on the Holy Spirit that had nothing to do with Him. And that's all right. You can be weird. Embrace your weirdness. I'd recommend, you know, maybe performing most of it at home. Or in a drum circle somewhere on State Street. You know? Be weird, that's fine. Just recognize that, you know, you're weird. And that's okay. But if we deny the Holy Spirit, if we back away from the Holy Spirit, then we will back away from the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is possible for people to walk in. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not normal to love mankind as God loves mankind. It is not normal for me to value Wade like God values Wade. That ain't normal. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. A gift of Him for me to begin to see people and have compassion on them the same way Christ has compassion on them. It's not normal to take care of the orphans. It's not normal to take care of the widows. It's normal for us to take care of our own, because the Bible tells us even an infidel takes care of his own. That's normal. But it takes a gift of the Spirit of God to see those in need and say, I want to be their answer. I want to supply for them. I want to bring the well of salvation to them. I want to take care of them mentally, physically, spiritually. I want to bring a place to these people that they'll know God. That the Holy Spirit can convince them that they need a Savior. And that He will convince them that they, after they've accepted Him, or Jesus, as their Savior, that they would be made righteous and that they have authority over the enemy. I want to bring them to a place that they can experience that. That compassion comes from the Holy Spirit. That's not normal for mankind. So we have the fruit of the Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have love. And we experience that through the gifts that the Holy Spirit as a person brings to us. So the enemy would love for us to think, that Holy Spirit stuff, I want to stay away from that. I'm not going to indulge in that. So that's the job of the enemy, is to convince you that the Holy Spirit is weird. But the Holy Spirit is not only our helper. He's not only our friend. He is my God. John 14:16. We've already read these. I'm just going to go over them again. And I pray that the Father, He will send you. We're talking about the Father. He, a person, will send you another Comforter, that He may abide for you, the Holy Spirit, forever. John 15:26. But the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit, He, as a person, will testify of Jesus. Luke 3:22, one we didn't read. And the Holy Spirit descended in a body shaped like a dove unto him. It's interesting to read, you know, especially when they didn't have the technology and stuff we had, to hear how they explain things. And, you know, how many movies do we watch and a dove flies down? Like, he didn't say a dove. I personally believe it was just so graceful they didn't know how to explain it. It was just graceful. They never saw anything ascend from heaven like this. And a dove is very graceful when it flies, when it's coming down for a landing. So like, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, He fell down gracefully. You went to a lot of Pentecostal churches, you wouldn't know how graceful the Holy Spirit is. Oh, we'll get into that next week. That's awesome. The Holy Spirit descended. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead. Now again, we have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. When I was a boy, I remember talking to my father. And I honestly don't know how young I was. And I asked my daddy, and he doesn't remember. He believed I was about maybe 6. And I remember asking this question very clearly to him. I said, "Daddy, in church, we talk about God a lot, and we talk about Jesus a lot, and we pray to God in the name of Jesus." So we talk to God on a regular basis, but we do it in the name of Jesus. And when it comes to Jesus, we call on Him all the time. We sing about calling on Him. We sing songs about Him. We praise Jesus all the time. We don't say anything about the Holy Spirit very much. We don't say His name a whole lot. We do, you know, there are times we talk about Him leading and guiding us and directing us, but we really don't talk about Him a lot. Do you think that makes Him sad? And my daddy asked, he looked at me and said, "Son, I don't think it does." He says, "You know, He's part of the Godhead. He understands how everything works." And Daddy left. That was the end of the conversation. And later, actually years later, he brought that back up to me. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "That question so intrigued me that I went to pastor about it." And he said, "I've never heard that question asked." And he said, "Son, I want to apologize to you because I think I was wrong." He said, "I didn't think the Holy Spirit could feel sadness." And he said, "But then the scripture came to mind, grieve not the Holy Spirit." And he came back to me and says, "He can feel sadness." And he just basically told me, he says, "Son, I really don't know if that makes Him sad or not." He said, "I can't answer that question because I don't know." And so, I believe it's not the fact that we may not talk to Him. It's not the fact that we may not acknowledge Him all the time. But I think we can grieve the Holy Spirit and make Him sad by not having communion, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've talked a lot about marriage and friendship and compared it to a relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God Himself. But can I tell you something? I believe, and the reason I use marriage a lot when it comes to our relationship with God is because
Marriage is the greatest covenant mankind can have on this earth with another person. That is the greatest covenant you can ever have. You don't enter into a greater covenant. And look how willy-nilly the world will treat that covenant. Because if we degrade that covenant, maybe we can degrade the covenant that we have with God Almighty. This is an institution that God created for mankind. And if we muddy it up, then maybe the relationship with God will be muddied up as well. But even though how great covenant between man and woman is, our covenant with God is greater. It's at a greater level. I'm willing to die and fight for Jesse. But you know, you may hesitate or think twice or maybe not act immediately, but God will never hesitate. And maybe you have a bad time with somebody and it's hard for you to put that down and love them still, or at least show them love. It's not that way for God. You know, one thing that I had to bring across to Jesse was that even if I'm upset with her, which rarely happens, if anything, she has more cause to be upset with me than the other way around. But if I'm ever upset, it doesn't mean I don't want to open doors. It doesn't mean that I still don't want to hold the umbrella and cover her even though I'm getting wet. It doesn't mean I don't want to protect her. It doesn't mean that I don't want to do good things and provide for her. But that being the case, as a person, we still experience selfishness. But God, there is no selfishness. Even if you are at odds with God, He still wants to bless you. And He still wants to hold the umbrella, whether to block the rain or the searing heat attack of the enemy. He still wants that. And the greatest way we can grieve the Holy Spirit is not to have a relationship with Him. Not to be in covenant with Him. To live a life that grieves the Holy Spirit. That cuts off communion as it was meant to be. Do you know, there are certain things I can do and say in a manner I can live that would cut communion off between me and her. There are acts that I could do that would destroy mine and her communion. And there are marriages in this world today. They've been married 50 years, but their communion has been severed for a very, very long time. And the Holy Spirit is saddened when we don't walk with Him as our helper and our comforter. And I think a lot of it is the fault of the church for not putting Him in His proper place. With every head bowed, I want to pray over the congregation this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus.